quarter for Cleveland, including this one. They came out. Now Hood picks him up on the switch. Shot clock at 5. Kevin Durant way outside. Delivers! Kevin Durant from downtown. It's a 6-point game. That's the Saints.
Welcome back, Seattle Bounds. You know, it's been a while, hasn't it been, Richard, huh? Yep, you got your host here, you got me, you got Tommy, of course, and next to me you've got...
Richard.
Yep, we've been out for a while, but we're back and we're better, and we have some new content for you guys, you know? It's been the end of a long and brutal season in the NBA, as you know, it's been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, but of course, the NBA playoffs, well, as you can say, the play-ins is coming, and we decided to give some content to you guys, you know? Today, obviously, we're going to cover a few topics, such as we're going to cover the Los Angeles Lakers, starting with them, you know. We've seen how they've gone with some injuries this season, you know. No LeBron James, no Anthony Davis, a surprise seeding, you know, and how they fare against the rest of the Western Conference. What else are we covering today, Richard?
Also, speaking about the Beast of the East, the Milwaukee Bums.
Mm-hmm, Darren Murray.
Philly. Philly and Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, good.
Obviously, one of them teams, probably the 76ers, will be facing Mr. Triple-Double. Mm. But I won't jump into that straight away, but we'll be covering the Beast of the East.
And lastly, of course, we're going to wrap it up by just covering with an overview of the season, you know? A long season, so we'll talk about the MVP, how the season has been, the surprises, you know, disappointments, and yeah, we'll go from there. So, you know, Richard, if you don't mind me, I mean, I know that you're a huge LeBron James advocate, you know, at one point.
I'm not an advocate, I just appreciate greatness.
I mean, at one point, some people did say, you did say LeBron James was the fifth best player in the league, which is absolutely outrageous, you know.
you're the one that said James Harden was better than LeBron.
Please, no proof, no party. But, you know, LeBron James, you know, in his first season with the Lakers, they said with his injury, that's why Lakers didn't make the playoffs this year. No, last year, sure, Anthony Davis came, they win the chip. But this year again, what's going on with the Lakers, LeBron, Anthony Davis? Can you tell us about that, please?
It's more to do with injuries, too, because obviously, at the beginning of the season, when people thought AD wasn't playing well, it wasn't that he wasn't playing well, he was just doing what was required of him. The Lakers were blowing out teams. LeBron was only an AD only player at 30 minutes. And then obviously, LeBron, AD first goes down with that injury. And then LeBron has gone down. Dennis Schroeder has missed some games. So now they have found themselves in the play-in. Obviously, just for timekeeping sake, we are recording this on the... This is the 15th, I believe. Today's date.
Yeah.
I'm tired, it's late. But it's the 15th, so they still do have a chance to not play in the play-in. But looking at the standings, it is one of those things that I believe it would be better for them to play in the play-in.
Why is that?
Just simply because if they don't play in the play-in, that means they'll be the 6th seed. Okay. They'll be facing the Clippers in the first round. They won't have enough. If there's any team that I believe that can beat the Lakers, it will... To me, it's still the Clippers, and to have them in the first round where AD, LeBron, and the Lakers haven't been able to build up chemistry, all that stuff over the regular season, you wouldn't want to throw yourself into a deep series like that. Whereas, if you do the play-in, I believe you get 3 chances to qualify if you're the Lakers, because you have to play the 8th seed. If you don't make it, you face the winner of Memphis and the Spurs, which they have to beat you twice as well. So you basically have 3 chances. And if we're being honest, like LeBron and AD aren't going to lose 3 times in the play-in. So they will have to, if that happens, they will face either Utah or the Suns, which is funny. Imagine you work all that hard work to...
Whoa. First of all, are we not giving the Suns or Utah credit? I mean, Utah have been without Donovan Mitchell, and in fact, they've been excellent without Donovan Mitchell. So what are we gonna say about that? We can't underrate this team anymore, can we? They haven't even had some of their best players, and they're still the number one seed. So what now?
Lakers are 5.
Oh boy.
LeBron and AD are clearly the two, We're still
crazy. But let's be honest, the Lakers are not healthy. Maybe you could talk about the season being shortened last year, the lack of rest, but the Lakers aren't healthy. And let's be honest, even if LeBron comes back today, next week, he still will not be 100%. He may not even be 80%. He may re-aggravate an injury. He may not be the same.
They don't need to be 100% to beat Utah or the Suns. Like, no disrespects, but if you look at those two teams, you look at, if I just start with Utah, Rudy Gobert, with him is a bit funny because I can see what he does, but Jonas has to fly anyways. the way he gets,
oh, wow.
The way he gets cooked back, but really and truly, he can guard AD whether you rate him or not, and there is no answer for LeBron on that end. And you're speaking about injuries, Donovan Mitchell as well.
Okay, fair enough. But let's be honest, Donovan Mitchell has not missed the same amount of games as the Lakers have missed in terms of LeBron and AD. He's had a lot more of a rhythm to his game.
I know, but it's just one of those things as in, with Utah, you just want to see a bit more because since they beat OKC in Donovan Mitchell's rookie season, they've made the playoffs and they haven't made out the first round. So it's one of those things that, do they have what it takes to get it done? I mean, they did put a 3-1 lead against the Denver last year. Mm-hmm. And then they're coming up against the Lakers, which LeBron has been getting a lot of rest as well recently with AD as well. He looks to be slowly becoming match fit as well, or game fit, whatever they call it in basketball. And then with the Suns, like, they just might be inexperienced. Obviously, they've got Chris Paul, but...
I hear that. That's a valid point. So, the Lakers being a 7th seed, potentially, would they be in a play-in against the Warriors in 8th seed, potentially?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, we want to talk about someone being informed. And let's be honest, Stephen Curry has been arguably the best player in the NBA this 2021. So, how does the Lakers fare against a hot Steph Curry, you know, and an informed Draymond Green and a motivated Andrew Wiggins? How?
I mean, Steph Curry is no Westbrook, but...
Oh, boy, huh?
No, but Steph Curry has been hot as well, but as I said, it's one of those things as in... Steph Curry will be the second best player on the court. But then LeBron and AD as well. Like, who's gonna guard AD? Because you can put Draymond can't guard LeBron, but maybe Draymond can slow down LeBron. But there is no center. Even though Andrew Wiggins, in fact, that Golden State team, they've been quite like underrated in terms of what they do. Like, it's not just the Steph Curry show, anyways. But it's one of those things as in, if they can stop Steph Curry from getting hot, which is a hard task, because once he gets hot, then it's over. You just have to hope you can beat them with offense. But then again, losing to Golden State might not be the worst thing in the world as well, because you rather face Utah than the Suns, regardless. So
why face Utah over the Suns? Utah and the Suns.
For the same thing I mentioned with the whole Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, I just don't think they've got enough. Like, if I look at the Suns, at least they've got Chris Paul.
I mean,
they don't.
You're taking Chris Paul over Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs?
In the playoffs, yeah. I'm not saying Chris Paul's a better player. Actually, yeah, I am saying he's a better player.
Nah. But, yeah, he's a better player, but I think in this playoffs, I'm taking Donovan Mitchell over Chris Paul.
As I said, with the Utah, I just need to see it to... Just because...
And let's be honest, I think people do figure in a bubble last year, Utah Jazz did not have Bogdan Bogdanovic, their second best scorer on the team. So it was pretty much just Donovan and Rudy with Mike Conley's first season. This year, that's why they're on fire. They even got the likes of Clarkson off the bench. He's probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year. They got Mike Conley in form and they got Bojan. I think we're severely underrated in Utah Jazz. And you know what I think that is? Because they're a small market, let's be honest. No, Utah does not sound fancy. If I'm going to America to visit and you ask me to go to Utah, I'm going to say, hell no. You know, they don't sound fancy at all. If I'm telling you Rudy Gobert is my best player on my team, I don't want to join that team at all. I don't even want to be near that team. You know, but really and truly, I think we're underrated Utah Jazz. And you know what? I really do hope in the playoffs, they do make some noise. Because if they don't get past the first round, oh boy.
and that's what I said. It's kind of deep that You fought for the first seed just to have the
Honestly speaking, I think their ceiling is the Western Conference Finals. I'll be honest. They are better than the Mavericks. They're better than the Blazers. The Nuggets. I mean, Jokic has been the best player, the best big man in basketball this year, but end of the day, they haven't got... In the playoffs, it's all about shot creation. And as great as Jokic is, you need a Jamal Murray type of player. A microwave player is going to get hot, and they haven't got that, you know?
Michael Porter, your alleged rookie of the year last season. Was it last season?
Yeah.
He has a chance to take a leap this...
He's got a chance, but end of the day, let's be honest, he's a seven-footer. And end of the day, he's not as great as... He's a talented player, a super talented player, but I don't believe he's got the same ability as Jamal Murray in terms of heating up, you know? We saw what Murray did. We thought it was a fluke against the Nuggets.
Bubble Murray.
Yeah, but we thought it was a fluke against Jazz, but we saw what he did against the Clippers as well, you know? But speaking of the West, you know, do you believe in the Clippers this year?
I do think they're definitely better than last season. Because I did think last season they celebrated before they won anything. Mm. They had a lot of chemistry issues. I think, wasn't it a doc that came out the other day that said something about how Kawhi and Paul George only had two practices with each other. So these guys clearly haven't played together much. They were too cocky and I think they were a bit humbled. So it's one of those things. Now the Lakers have won this. They're more motivated. Paul George has come back like he's come for vengeance, even though it is the regular season. Whoever we're going to see, Playoff P or Pandemic P, is another thing that we have to wait and see. But as a team, I do just think over the bit, like instead of Montreal, they've got Ibaka now, who I think is an upgrade there. They've got Rondo, like Playoff Rondo is a real thing as well. So that's they don't have to keep... You don't have to keep pretending that Patrick Beverley is that guy. Like, he can actually put a proper point guard there. So that's an upgrade on that position as well. And you still got Kawhi. He's an elite player as well. So they're clearly better than last year. Would I still pick the Lakers to beat them in a seven-game series? As long as they don't meet each other in the first round, then I'll still go to the Lakers. But it is... I do trust them more this year than I did last year.
Well, honestly, you know, this is the year for the Clippers. And honestly speaking, to me, it's the Western Conference Finals or bust. If not, you got to blow it up. Because in the West, if you ask me, speaking of the West and comparing it to the East, I really don't think this year the West is as strong as the East. I think this is the year for the East to take the NBA title this year. I think this is the year, and I'm going to tell you why exactly. You know, we talk about the West being better than the East. Fair enough. From top to bottom, there is no doubt. But you know what? In terms of top heaviness, I think the East is just as strong. And in fact, this year, they've been even better. You know? Obviously, we've seen the Lakers are crippled this year. Utah is still the regular season team, but we don't know if we can trust them. Denver don't have Jamal this year. Portland are great on offense, defense. No way. The Mavericks, Kristaps plays on one leg, so no thanks. The Warriors, Steph ain't carrying them past, nowhere near the second round, you know. So we really truly got the Clippers there, this is theirs to lose. You got the Suns, yeah, and then you got the Lakers, who might not even be fit. But in the Eastern Conference, you know who we've got here. We've got, in my opinion, the best player, box office, the man, the one everybody wants, the one everybody hates, the one everybody wishes was on their team, the man, Giannis Antetokounmpo on the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, we have him, the Greek freak. You know, of course, we got a fake one seed in Philadelphia 76ers, but we can't discredit the fact that they're the number one seed. They've got Joel Embiid, who is arguably the second best big man in the entire NBA. We can't discredit that. You know, they got Ben Simmons. They got Ben Simmons. You know, they got Doc Rivers, the championship-winning coach. You know, and of course, you know, we got the Brooklyn Nets. You know, end of the day, you see, this is everything in basketball, if you ask me. A team like the Brooklyn Nets, you know, this is the year that we hoped that everyone would have a balance this year. We hoped that every single team, you know, would be able to fight against each other without any form of superpowers. But this year, who do we have? We have the Brooklyn Nets. In fact, we have Kevin Durant, who didn't have the balls to form his own team. Instead, he called up his teammates, called up other people to recruit and join one team. And this year, who do we have? The Brooklyn Nets against the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis all alone. But hey, if you ask me, this is the year for the Eastern Conference to take the chip. Because at the end of the day, in the West, the Lakers and the Clippers will probably meet in a second round or something like that. And one of them are going up. So, I know the NBA... Nah, this is the East's year. But tell me, what's your thoughts on the Eastern Conference this year, particularly the top heaviness? You know, we've seen the Celtics are probably out of contention this year with Jaylen Brown being gone. The Heat,
the Heat,
you can never throw them out of question, you know. The Heat even beat the Philadelphia 76ers the other day. The Heat, the finals last year. And then the Heat have proven that they love to be the underdogs. And it's a team you can't ever really rule out, you know. But what do you think of the Eastern Conference this year, mate?
Before I even go on, that two things that killed me. How can I forget his name? The guy that, the Miami veteran.
Oh, Udonis Haslam.
Yeah, him.
Oh, yeah, man. He embodies everybody the Heat, doesn't he?
That guy came up for 2 minutes, four buckets, and got himself ejected.
Oh,
but,
boy. No, that's what a night for him, huh?
Also, I still do have your tweet of you saying that the Bucks will win it all this year, so...
Like I said, whether the Bucks win the chip or not, they won it in spirit, and that's what that matters to me, mate. They won it in spirit,
and you guys
mate.
Are now definitely... I'll say 90% will be facing the Nets in the second round.
You know what? Bring it on. Honestly speaking, bring it on. You know, bring it on. Listen, this is one team I do want to avoid. Honestly speaking, it's the Heat. That's who I want to avoid. But you know what? I wouldn't mind. Listen, end of the day, I don't mind playing the Nets in the second round.
But you could still face the Heat in the first round.
I think it's very likely the Heat will make 4th or 5th seed. They're probably going to play the Knicks. It's most likely the Knicks and that we're going to play.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying it's simple. But in regards to the East, so obviously the Brooklyn Nets are, talent-wise, the best team in basketball right now. My only fear is, I'm still going to pick them to come to the East. I was picking them before Harden even got there. My only problem is, one thing is they might have the same problem they had with, like the Clippers had last season, when they had chemistry issues, and... Their two biggest competitions are the Milwaukee Bucks and Philly, which two of their best players is the Greek bum. And Mr. Trust the Process Embiid, which are big men. Obviously, sadly, LaMarcus Aldridge had to retire, so they've got DeAndre Jordan there again. The Nets are going to suffer in those, like...
In fact, didn't Giannis put a back-to-back 49 and 40 against the Brooklyn Nets?
Giannis and... Embiid are going to drop points on. It might not be enough because when you're that talented offensively, you might just outscore teams. But if there's any kind of like worries I do have regarding the Nets, is the big man position just simply because.
You see, the thing about the Nets is, yes, talent wise, offense wise, they've got 3 elite level scorers, that's true. And they've got an elite level playmaker in James Harden. But I'm worried about. See, I'm not worried about James Harden and that team. We've seen Harden doesn't have to score 35 to be dominant. He can score 25. He will get 25 and he'll get 10 assists. We can see that. Now, the problem to me is Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You can't have Kyrie Irving, the talent of him, to be a third option on that team. End of the day, you need him to score with the ball in his hands. And end of the day, how are you going to share the ball with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and they haven't even had time to play with each other before? That's a problem. They're going to have to figure out in the playoffs. And do they really want to do that in the first round? And against the Milwaukee Bucks, they really want to do that as well? They don't know how to defend and switch. As in, see, this would have been good for them to test it out in the regular season, to test out these type of games. How are they going to do this?
The defense have gone better recently. I said it wants to do because I think Steve Nash said they're all playing together tomorrow. Harden, Kyrie and KD, which will be the 8th time they've done that this season. So they've only played together 7 times, which I believe is the main problem, is the chemistry thing. In terms of sharing the ball, it's a bit of a weird one because we now know James Harden running the point and carries the shooting guard. As long as KD is okay with that, I don't think it will interrupt because KD doesn't need more than like, he takes 2 dribbles, he pulls up. It's Harden and Kyrie that do all that dribble. You get where I'm coming from. And we've seen Kyrie and Harden play a lot together, which, and you can see it definitely works. So Now you're just putting an unselfish superstar into the mix, and then you continue, which the assistant coach is D'Antonio, who's a master of maximizing offensive possessions and getting the most out of it. So I don't think it'll be as big as a problem. I mean, if you James Harden doesn't have it going, Kyrie will have it going. If Kyrie doesn't have it going, KD will have it going. So it's one of those things, as in, although KD is the best player, he might end up being the third option.
Honestly, I can agree with that, yeah, because he's the least ball-dominant player. But at the end of the day, and that's the thing, it's a good and a bad thing. Kyrie and Harden will get the ball, and KD doesn't need the ball in his hands, but at the end of the day, KD's a most dangerous player. As we've seen KD, when he's on fire, he's unguardable. At the end of the day, if he doesn't get a rhythm, what's going to happen? And that's the problem with the Brooklyn Nets. They're very much, if they don't win the chip this year, it's going to be one of the biggest failures in NBA history. Yep. If they don't make the finals, at least it will be the biggest failure in NBA history.
It's chip or bust for them.
As in, if they do not make the finals, it's the biggest failure. They need to make that at the very least. At the very least this year. But honestly speaking, the pressure's all on the Brooklyn Nets. And honestly speaking, who knows what's going to happen. But if you ask me, I don't trust the Philadelphia 76ers at all. And that's not because I don't trust Joel Embiid. That's because at the end of the day, I don't trust Ben Simmons. End of the day, in the playoffs, when things slow down, when things get tighter, you see, we can laugh at Giannis all we want for his limitations, but we've seen this year in a regular season, the way he's played, he can dunk with the rim all he wants to, but you've seen the bravery he's put in to try out different shots, to try out different styles of play, and to play like he would play in the playoffs when the defense is a tighter. Now, Ben Simmons is meant to be your second best player in the 76ers. End of the day, yes, he can score nice 15 points, but that's not enough for his second best player. And the way he scores his points, he doesn't even score anyway more than 10 feet out of the basket. He doesn't even attempt to do so. He doesn't get to the line that often because he's not that aggressive. And end of the day, if Joel Embiid gets doubled, what are you going to do then? Embiid, who's not a great passer in a double team, what happens then on Ben Simmons? As in, so the 76ers are a team that we're still yet to see. As in, I really hope they're not going to be a fake one seed, but we'll see.
I mean, with the 76ers, it's kind of ironic because the last 2 years I did pick them to come out and they disappointed me both times. So with them, is they've now become a team that I need to see to believe it. Saying that, if this has been the best that they've been over the past couple of years, just simply because, and I think Embiid came out to say the other day, he said now everybody know their roles in terms of what they actually meant to do.
You heard it last 3 years, boy.
No, but the thing is that everybody did have, and I'm no expert in the X's and O's of basketball and coaching, but when you heard the way people speak of like Brett Brown, I won't say they disrespected him, but everybody always looked at him sideways, whereas now you've got Doc Rivers. This has probably been the most dominant Embiid has.
True.
And if Embiid didn't even get injured, I would have picked him to be MVP, but obviously that injury, so I have to go with Jokic. So it looks like Embiid will be put in better position to succeed. And obviously I get what you're saying with Ben Simmons, and I 100% agree with that, but he does the other stuff he does at a high level as well, in terms of creating shots for his teammates.
We don't need yes, true, but as I said before, assists are even an overrated stat. Rebounds on average, that at the end of the day, as in, he's your second best player. Yes.
I'm talking about, when you talk about the assist, I'm not even talking about assists. I can't remember the stats, but there's a metric that they use to rate qualities of chance created, and I think he's up there with Mr. Triple-Double himself. So, like, I think he creates the most open looks from three for his teammates. Obviously, playoff basketball is a different game, but I'm just saying, he does give his teammates open look. The only problem with that, I would say, is that when it does come to crunch time, you don't want to be putting the ball in the hands of your role player to bail you out all the time. You want to be able to put the shots up yourself. But as I said, Embiid looks like he'll be put in a position to succeed. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, especially given that they probably will be coming up against the Wizards and Bradley Beal and Westbrook in the first round.
Interesting. I mean, speaking of, you know, creativity, speaking of the NBA, you know, to wrap it up, I just wanted to quickly ask you a question. you know, who do we agree the MVP has been this season, you know?
I think it has to be Jokic. I mean, the thing is, the MVP race has been, I think since I started watching basketball, this has been the most clear-cut one there's been, just simply because of...
It's been an injury this season, hasn't it been?
Yeah, the injuries have, like, and that's why, as I just said, like, a couple minutes ago, if Embiid never had that, missed that much time, I think he would have been my clear MVP.
No, I disagree, and let me tell you why. Now, in terms of impacts or stats-wise, cool, fair enough. But the main difference has been, I've seen Philadelphia's record without Embiid, and Philadelphia don't struggle that much without Embiid. Yes, and Embiid is a best player, but they don't really struggle without him. We've seen the Nuggets. In fact, the Nuggets without Jokic are not a playoffs team, and you know what? They've lost their second best player in Jamal Murray. Yeah. And in we thought they'd fall down badly. In fact, look how the Lakers are crumbling without their best players. Yeah. Look, even AD's been back without LeBron, and he still struggled. We've seen Jokic, a big man, a true center, who's not athletic, playing without a shot creator in a guard-based NBA league. This guy's still been dominated. And at the end of the day, in fact, Jokic, I think he's played every single game this season he's been available for. Yeah. And at the end of the day, that tells you everything you need to know about this guy. And without a doubt, he's probably the most valuable player to his team in the entire NBA. And you know what? He deserves the MVP. In fact, he might even be unanimous this year, if you ask me.
You don't know. He won't be
unanimous. I think he could be. And that's solely because, let's be honest, solely because of the injuries.
There's people pushing that Chris Paul agenda out there.
Nah,
which I strongly disagree with.
If anybody picks Chris Paul for the MVP, that's solely because they don't want a white man to win the MVP. They don't want a European international man to win the MVP. And Chris Paul's, you know, seen as one of the NBA associate guys, of the big players in the league. No,
he shouldn't win it, but I'm just saying that narrative is out there as well. So, like, he's definitely winning it unanimously. And there's still a lot of people that still believe Embiid deserves the MVP as well. So, it will be, like, I don't think Jokic is clear-cut. I think the MVP race will be close.
I just hope there's no votes from Philadelphia, please, because that's the only reason why they're going to vote Embiid for MVP. That's the only reason why. You put a Jokic, if Jokic is playing for a team called Los Angeles Nuggets or something like that, on a bigger market, I'm telling you now, he's winning a unanimous MVP. You know? But, I mean, you know, I just want to quickly ask you as well, you know, who do you think your NBA first team would be this year? I'm hearing that they might actually manipulate the first team to add Jokic and Embiid in the first team together, as Embiid being a forward.
Might, they have, because they can both play.
If they do that, honestly speaking, that will be one of the biggest disgraces in the entire NBA.
It's confirmed, like, Embiid can be a center or forward, same for Jokic.
I mean, I feel the locks for the first team will be Steph, Giannis, and Jokic. You could put Doncic as a second guard, fair enough, because of stat-wise,
Jokic and Embiid as well.
And then the other one, I mean, I wouldn't put Embiid there because in the forward. But to be honest, Kawhi's missed quite a couple games recently. LeBron's missed a lot of games. KD definitely's not in the mix. I wouldn't put Randle there because, I don't know. You got Randle, you got Kawhi, you got Embiid, who knows? But I think the NBA would probably put Kawhi Leonard up there. I think so. Just based on seeding, reputation, and stat-wise, I think he would be up there, if not Randle. But, you know, the NBA do love the Knicks story.
Jokic and Embiid will definitely both make first team because they've been listed as forwards and centers. So, it's been done for a reason. I don't like when they think of all that stuff too much. If you make it, you're there. If you're not, you're not. I would just do guards and forwards then. Or I think someone said, you might as well just let them pick the best five players for, which might even make more sense anyways. Because some people be getting fraudulence, all the NBAs. But, but it is what it is.
Well, I mean, anyways, family, I mean, we've discussed a bit of the NBA this season. You know, we've wrapped up a little bit. And, you know, we're just here to let you guys know our opinions and thoughts, you know. But as you can see, the NBA players will be starting from next week. And the players will be starting from this month. So
we will be covering that.
We will be covering that a lot. There will be a lot of consistency. There will be a lot of constructive criticism. And there will be a lot of controversy. Don't you worry about that. So
new
please,
content,
don't you worry. We will be covering all your teams that you wish for us to cover. All the players you wish for us to cover. And yeah, you know, please tune into the NBA this year. Please tune into the playoffs because it's going to be one hell of a playoffs this year. You know, we're seeing stars this year. We're seeing new schemes this year. We've seen new stadiums this year. You know, we've seen different motivations this year. And honestly speaking, this year's anyone's chips to take. So, you know, thank you for tuning in to our show.
Saying that, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at outsofbounds_UK. And please remember, it's always agendas over facts.
Well, please. Please. Well, thank you. Nice. You guys have a great day. And we're out.
Oh, he stared at Wesley Johnson, and then he hit the three. Wow. He put him on the deck.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up.
It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown.
Fourth quarter for Cleveland, including this one. They came out. Now Hood picks him up on the switch. Shot clock at five. Kevin Durant.